Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, departed from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Do you ever feel like enough is enough? Like we've been in the wilderness for 2 years, struggling with a global pandemic, dealing with the fractious state of our political system, waking up to the oppression of our black and brown siblings, seeing on the streets and in our schools the violence wrought by guns, is enough to just make us want to say we're at our capacity, we've reached our limit, enough is enough. And that was before Russia invaded Ukraine. When just like that, just when we thought we were about to find our way out of the wilderness, just when we could finally see our way back to something a little more familiar, a little more normal, a little more hopeful, we suddenly found ourselves yanked back in, back to the wilderness, still with all of those anxieties and worries we held on to before, but now with the added one of nuclear war. Enough is enough, isn't it? Enough is enough. We don't really understand where we find ourselves. Every time we think we find our way out of this place, we find ourselves pulled back in. And it's not an easy place to be. It's a place where we get a little confused. We're not our best when we're in the wilderness. We find ourselves wandering. To be clear, we stand with the people of Ukraine. Like so many of you, I've been moved to tears over the course of this last week, especially seeing the children of Ukraine. Children like mine, like yours, like ours, being carried out of buildings, crying in the subways, clinging to their parents as they desperately seek out life. We stand with every single one of them, and those are just the ones that we see. It's just where the cameras happen to be. We can only imagine the millions of other people who are out there right now, who are struggling, who are holding on. We stand with them. Young, old, black, white, gay, straight, male, female, trans, cis, broken, whole, everyone beyond and between. We stand with them, and as you already heard, we will find ways in the days and weeks and months ahead to be able to help in whatever way that we can. But we will also pray. Look, I don't know where this will go from here. I don't know how long we will be in the wilderness. Nobody really does. But I pray, and I ask you to pray with me, that peace will prevail, that people of faith will step up, that nations will open their borders, communities will open their arms, and leaders will open their hearts, if not their minds, that we might not name evil as genius, that we might set aside our petty politics for the sake of the suffering, that we might finally see in real time the sin a society of sycophants can spawn. But truth be told, we don't know. That's the thing. Over the last few years, we as a world have begun to become a little attracted by autocracy, to dance with demagoguery, to flirt with fascism, even here. It's not limited to Russia. And it makes sense that it would lead to violence, doesn't it? When we begin to see other people as less than human, it doesn't take long for violence to rise up. And it's not just in Russia. Look at what's happening in some places of the Ukraine. Perhaps you saw on the news as the Nigerian immigrants who were fleeing just like everybody else were not allowed into the trains or onto the caravans because of the color of their skin, that racial caste system still at play, even in a time of war. We can hear it in the news coverage as people begin to lament and outrage that something like this could happen in Europe as if it's okay anywhere else. But before we simply shake our heads, we ought to take a hard look in the mirror to recognize where we are, the same kinds of challenges that are rising up here. Every time we dismiss truth as fake news, it comes up. No, friends, make no mistake, we too are all in the wilderness. All of us are in it together, and now we have to find our way forward. We're in the wilderness. And in this time of uncertainty, in this time when we don't quite know our way, it is so tempting to want to reach out and grasp that easy fix. It's easy to want to reach out and grab that easy answer, that simple answer, to find that person to blame. When we're stuck in the wilderness, it's easy to try and grasp on to that thing or that person or that idea that makes us feel a little bit better, even if we know it does not point us in the direction of life. But in the end, friends, that fix, that high, however we get it, does not last. Only what is true will last. Only the truth will set us free, because where there is truth, there is God. And if we ignore the truth, we stay lost. So maybe enough is finally enough. Maybe this time in the wilderness will be a little different. Maybe this time we won't just reach out for that first thing that we see that makes us feel a little bit better. Maybe we will finally all together turn in the direction of life. See, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and yet he was led by the Spirit. Maybe we can be too. Sure, it might not lead us out of the wilderness, but by God's grace, it just might lead us through it. And we could use the help, couldn't we? Look at where we are. Aren't you tired of hating the people who think differently than you, who vote differently than you, who look differently than you? We have entire news networks dedicated to fomenting outrage, to making us look down upon people who are around us. Well, maybe it's time to change. Maybe this is our opportunity to do it, to remind each other that we don't have to think the same way, to face in the same direction. Maybe the way out of this wilderness is by the Spirit, or at least through the wilderness. And if we've struggled to find our way through until now, the good news is it's Lent. It's a time built into our liturgical calendar year, 40 days in the wilderness, so that we might find our way to life. It's an opportunity once a year to at least once a year pause, consider where we are so that we might better orient where we're going. Almost every Lent, we begin with the story of Jesus tempted in the wilderness, spending those 40 days in the wilderness. All three synoptic gospels tell it, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark, of course, only has a couple of sentences, but Matthew and Luke tell a fuller story. But Matthew says Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, whereas Luke says that Jesus was led in the wilderness by the Spirit. It's a subtle difference, of course, but on that subtle difference hangs an entire theology. After all, we Methodists really like the idea that God doesn't push us into these situations of terror. God doesn't push us into the wilderness. In other words, God didn't suddenly harden Putin's heart and make him invade. No. Sometimes bad things happen. God gives us the freedom to live in the world, which means that sometimes our choices affect the people around us. Sometimes it's because of our own sin that we are doing something to affect our neighbor, and sometimes it's someone else, and sometimes it's just because. Luke was writing to a people 40 years after Jesus who understood full well what it was like to be stuck in the wilderness, who understood what it was like to not know where, how to go forward. And he was trying to tell them that while God didn't put them there, that God wasn't going to leave them alone in it either. Friends, the same thing is true for us. Look, here we are in this wilderness moment. God didn't put us here. Part of the freedom we have to live in the world, some of it is by other people's choices. We can't control that. All we can control is our choice from here. All we control is what we are going to do to find our way forward. Lent seems like as good a time as any to start, but maybe it begins by acknowledging the temptations that each of us face, the real temptations that are there in our lives. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he was tempted. Now, there's a devil in the details. And while that is not typically how we think of temptation, at least us Methodists, in other words, not all of us believe in a literal devil or actual demons, but we do understand temptation. And I would imagine that each of us has our own demons that we deal with. What are they for you? Jesus was tempted by power and privilege to use the gifts that he had been given for his own gain. What are you tempted by? When you find yourself a little uncertain, what do you reach for? We all have something, don't we? We've already named some of the temptations we face together. We named, of course, that temptation to just look for the easy answer, but it's not the only temptation we face. There is another one, which is to turn the other way. That is to just bury our head in the sand, pretend like we don't see all that is happening out in the world. Who could blame us? It's hard, isn't it, to keep up this? Enough is enough. We can't be at a 10 forever before we burn out. It doesn't take long for that empathy to turn to apathy, and we just turn away to shut it out. It's hard being lost for so long. We Methodists understand that, don't we? More on that next Sunday. No. We know what it's like to feel ourselves out in the wilderness and to be tempted to just turn away. Only as people of faith, we don't get that option. As disciples of Jesus Christ, as those who want to live out the mission that God has placed before us, we don't get to just turn the other way, to tune it all out. We have to pay attention. Part of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves is caring. But the good news of our faith is that we also have practices that help us along the way, to help us keep things in perspective, to help us make sure that what we do is sustainable. One that we don't often think about or don't often talk about is Sabbath. We're called to take one day out of the week, not to do our laundry or to shovel snow or to clean our bathrooms. We're called to take one day out of the week to stop our work so that we might appreciate God's, so that we might recognize the way God is at work in the world, to recognize that there is something to be hopeful about because it's not all on us. Do you see? We honor Sabbath so that we might have hope together. We gather Sunday after Sunday in this space to remind each other of the direction we are called to face, to recognize that none of us are perfect, but we're more perfect together than we are apart, that we're here to try and figure this out. That's why we pause for Sabbath. So maybe this year, in order to let go of apathy, we have to pick up Sabbath or some other practice so that we might hold on to hope. It's one of those things we have to offer this world. I have a friend who studies the effects of social media and technology on adolescent development. Several years ago, he was invited to a roundtable discussion at Harvard University with about a dozen people who were all sitting around a table, social scientists and psychologists and neurologists, who were all speaking about the way that social media, the way that technology affects a young person's development, and they were all hopeless people. And then when it came to him, he recognized that as the only practical theologian in the room, what he had to offer was hope. What he had to offer was a recognition that it's not just on us, that there is more at work in the world, and that we try and latch onto that together. So this Lent, maybe the idea is to pick up some practice that you can take on to be able to help us all find our way within the wilderness. See, it's not just about giving up dessert so that we lose a couple of pounds. It's about figuring out what is keeping us from living fully and taking a step towards life. What is it that you reach for when you're in the wilderness? Sex? Cynicism? Hopelessness? Anger? What might it be? What might it take to let it go? Because the truth is, we don't know how long we're going to be in this wilderness. We pray that it will just be 40 days, and maybe we will find some resolution. Maybe by the time we stand in this pulpit and celebrate the good news of the risen Christ, we will also celebrate the freedom of the Ukrainian people, and we will find our way to peace in the world. But if not, then we're going to have to figure out how to live in this wilderness a little longer. The passage ends today with it saying that the devil departed until an opportune time. That is, he was coming back. And for Jesus, he would be in the wilderness again, that he would be tempted again, and maybe we will be too. So we might as well plant where we are. The theme for this Lent is seeds in the wilderness. The idea being that we don't know how long we're going to be here. It continues with that theme we've had all year of a new creation, that here we are in this chaotic moment, in this uncertain moment. So if we're going to be here, we might as well plant some seeds of hope. We might as well plant some seeds of grace. We might as well plant some seeds of life in the hope that they will bear fruit down the road. It might take a little while, and we might not gain the sustenance from them. That might be the people who come after us, but at least there will be a marker along the path should anyone else find themselves lost. Do you see? Jesus gave us an example of what it looks like. He pointed us in the direction of life. He was led by the Spirit. Sure, it may not lead us out of the wilderness, but by God's grace, it just might lead us through. It might just be enough to help us find our way. And in this case, maybe enough will finally be enough. Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Maybe we can be too. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.